Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. Hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast.
Hello.
We are talking today about secondhand screen time.
I don't even know if anyone would know what that is.
Well, when you think of secondhand smoke, we all know what secondhand smoke is and secondhand smoke and the impact that that has on our lungs and our bodies. Secondhand screen time is a newer kind of concept.
It is.
Because everybody's on their screens.
Yeah. And I think it's just like, you know, when it used to be everyone smoked and no one had a clue how bad it was for you. It was just super cool.
Yeah, the same is so true as it relates to screens. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the power of screens on our children's brains, on our brains, and what it's really doing to our relationships as well, especially as it relates to how we parent our kids and how they're watching us. And so I want to ask you, Christy, if you could just help us understand what is secondhand screen time.
I have a good example because this is a real life one. So this happened just the other day. Okay, so you can just picture, this is probably obviously... it could be more applicable for a mom if you'll get my examples. But I was at home. I was feeding my daughter lunch. And so here's the scenario. I have my phone. I've just finished browsing Pinterest because I was getting the recipe that I needed to make dinner. But I put my phone down, you know, to go find some ingredients in the pantry as my daughter, who's sitting at the table, is telling me that she wants more applesauce. So, okay. But then a text came in, and my sister, who was pregnant at the time, is asking if I liked the stroller that I had used for my kids. And so I, you know, pick up my phone to respond back to her. And during that time, I got a call from my husband, Josh, and telling me about a get-together that was happening that night at a coworker's house. So then I had to go to Facebook to see who's also going to decide, you know, I wasn't sure what to wear, so then I decided to message a friend who was also going to go to see what she was going to wear. And in the meantime, my sweet daughter, who's still at the table, is starting to scream because she still doesn't have applesauce, which finally got my attention. So then I put my phone down to go help her, but then I had to, you know, pick it back right back up because I had to text some possible babysitters for tonight.
You ever been there?
Yep. Isn't that real life, though?
That's real life. But what we're not thinking about is the impact on our child's brain.
Yeah.
And our child's
who was sitting there the whole
relationship.
Time just waiting for some applesauce, Mom.
Especially in those first 5 years of life, because those first 5 years of life are when our children's brains grow the fastest. And we really need to get an understanding of the impact that this is having. Researchers call this a state of that we're living in a state, these clinging reactions to the constant attention seeking demands of our phone. So it's
the dings
the dings and the rings and the I got to respond to this text message and that text message. They refer to it as that we live in a state of, and I quote, continuous partial attention.
That's so interesting.
Now think about that. Continuous partial attention.
So meaning that we rarely pay full attention to one thing, that we neglect tasks because we're partially attuned to a bunch of tasks. Is that right?
Yeah. And so think about this as it relates to even our devotion, whether we're reading our Bibles or whether we're reading a book. You know, we have this phrase that we use in our house called double screening. And it's a negative term when you're watching television, but one other person has their phone in their hand. That's double screening. We're not really paying attention to any one particular thing. And we talk about this a lot, especially as it relates to the context of our relationships. But
can I just call you out on the table? Like total honesty?
Are you kidding? I have this thing down pat. I am good with my phone. I got this stuff down. That's why I'm talking about it, Christy.
Yeah, I have totally caught you lately triple screening.
How is that, Paul? I don't even have three screens.
Yes, you do. Because you're watching a show with me, which I appreciate you doing, whatever show that is. And you're on your computer working while on your phone.
Yeah, but I'm not watching the show. I'm
You're
just sitting with you.
You're still in front of it.
I'm present. I'm physically present with
That's
you.
That's triple screening. And there's a lot of people that do triple screen. But anyway.
But think about it. Put yourself in your daughter's shoes for a minute or in your child's shoes as you think about
spouses.
This. Or your spouse's
yeah.
here. How, especially as it relates to children in this particular context, how do you think our children feel about our continuous partial attention to
yeah.
them?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing we need to really truly understand here and just really humble ourselves and go, whoa, here's where I need to do a gut check and a reality check. And as we're talking, we are not perfect with this by any stretch of the imagination.
But
we're just calling it out on the table.
Yes.
I mean, we
yeah.
have limits in our home. Mm-hmm. And one of my resolutions is to begin having my children catch me reading more physical books than they see me on my phone.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well I'll do with that. I've been doing pretty well lately, but it's one of those things where we constantly go back to our habits.
Well, and here's the trouble. So much of our life takes place on a phone. Our scheduling, our communication with people, it's beyond just the, you know, wired phone in the wall that you saw mom talk on, you know, as she's making you dinner or something. It's become everything. And so it is very difficult to stop, to put it down because so many things come through there. So what would you say, like, what are practical ways? Because this is life for us now. This is the way we communicate. There's so many apps truly that do make life easier for us. And I don't want to give a lot of those up. So how do we do that?
Yeah, I think it's important to before we get into these practical ways, I think it's important to talk about that this is a research that research is actually showing this is impacting our children's brains.
Hmm.
This is not some pie in the sky thing we're making up to say, oh, we should get rid of our phones.
Yeah, we should probably not do this.
And by the way, the way that I view a phone and the way that I view screens today is it's not unlike the car or the automobile. The automobile was first mass produced in 1908 by Ford Motor Company. And it wasn't until 1949 that standard disc brakes were introduced onto the automobile.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane. And
what did they do? Like Fred Flintstone, like put their legs out?
Well, I mean, there was brakes, but you look at standard disc brakes and you
yeah.
look at true braking
effective
systems.
Ones that actually stop a car.
Systems. And then in 1959, it was 3-point seat belts. And then after that, you had padded dashboards in the 1960s. And then you have now all the way today, we have airbags and all kinds of safety measures. The point is if you're listening, you're probably driving in your car, right? You mm-hmm. haven't gotten rid of the car because it's all bad. No, automobiles are good for us. They get us from point A to point B. They allow us to see people we otherwise wouldn't be able to see
They're
on a regular
necessary.
Basis. They're necessary. But without brakes, they take the physical lives of people.
Mm.
I just hope, I see technology as the exact same way. I just hope that it doesn't take us 41 years to start putting brakes on our technology.
Mm.
Because I believe that if we do, we will lose the emotional and spiritual lives of a generation of kids who know nothing but the screens. Some researchers are saying that we're giving them that the screen itself is not unlike, because it increases dopamine in the brain, it is not unlike drugs.
Wow.
And so here we are giving our kids drugs, but because it's socially acceptable, we're not questioning it.
Yeah.
And because our kids behave when they're in front of it, we're not questioning it.
That's serious. Like, can I tell you, that actually gives me tears.
I think it's critical that we look at this.
Yeah.
And we look at it hard. And we do an honest look in our own lives and say, hey, how can we begin to set limits on screens in
yeah.
our home? One of the research studies actually shows that, because when you think about this, our children want and need us more than anyone else on the planet, more than anything else on the planet. That's what they're asking.
Yeah.
And I mean, even with our kids, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time our children say to me, Daddy, play with me,
mm-hmm.
I'd be a rich man financially, especially in those first few years of life. So what the research is showing is this. It's showing that our inability to put the phone down is wiring our kids' brains in such harmful ways that what's actually happening is it's interrupting their pleasure system.
Hmm. Explain that. What does that mean?
So if I'm a dad, which I am, and I'm working from home.
Which you do.
Which I do. And I'm consistently distracted by my phone.
Which you are.
I wouldn't say consistently. Come on. No, because I do set boundaries here. If I'm constantly distracted by my phone when my children are expecting me to play,
okay,
feed, or otherwise enjoy time with them,
okay,
what it does is it wires their brains for those interruptions. So they're expecting me to play. They're expecting me to feed them. They're expecting me to be with them. And then all of a sudden, I pick up my phone and I interrupt their expectation.
Right.
Now, think about this as adults. How often are we disappointed by unmet expectations?
Yeah.
Think about you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have a great day.
Yeah.
You're super excited for me to get home.
Yeah.
You've got an awesome dinner prepared. I don't know. You've got, like, you're stoked about spending time with me, and I come home and I'm in a glum mood.
Yeah.
And I ruin your evening.
You totally do.
How often has that happened?
Many a time.
Come on.
So many times.
Because I'm the serious one and you're the fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about that for our kids. Those constant interruptions, what research shows, inhibits the pleasure system. And over time, what's happening is it's leading to anxiety and depression.
Wow. That's powerful.
So, and research is showing this, that we're seeing increased anxiety and depression in children in this instance. So how can we decrease the amount of time our children experience us in continuous partial attention in their presence? And I would recommend this too, one last time, and then I'm going to toss it to you because you need to talk about this a little bit as well as a mom. Multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
Multitasking is a fraud.
Why do you say that?
Because I think about continuous partial attention for a second.
Yes.
We believe that we can multitask. Think about teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. Your teenager is probably sitting on their, like me, sitting on the couch, doing homework, on their phone, watching television with headphones on, listening to music or whatever. It's like we can feel like we can multitask. Researchers actually looked at multitasking and they took the brightest students at both Harvard and Stanford universities and they asked them before they did the study, they said, hey, do you believe that you will be more productive by multitasking than not? And every single student in that study said, yes, I will be more productive. What they found...
You'd think they would.
Yeah, you would think that they would.
They're accomplishing
every
more.
Every student said they would.
Yeah.
What they found at the end of that study was that not one student was more productive multitasking.
Really?
In fact, it slowed their productivity by up to a third.
So it's sequential tasking
Sequential tasking.
Finishing, like starting a task, finishing that one, moving on to the next.
Because if you think about it, if you're working on a Word document or something and all of a sudden you have your email client up in the background and you get a ding that an email comes in and you're writing a document, all of a sudden you go to the email.
You lose your train of thought.
Lose your train of thought.
Yeah.
So as you think about continuous partial attention, that's what happens when we multitask. Now, I'm not saying all multitasking is wrong, and I mean, moms have to multitask. At the end of the day, parents are
that's how
have
our
to be master
children
multitaskers.
Stay alive.
But in order to hit that true attention, it might be that we have to put some tasks away to be present with our kids, to be focused with our kids.
Wow.
So, Christy,
people over projects, right?
What are some practical ways? People over projects. I love that. So,
what are some practical ways?
Yeah. How do we put people over projects? How do we help our kids be exposed to secondhand screen time as often?
Right. And similar to you, and I think all moms can agree with this and relate with this. We all, we've talked about this whole debate before, the work from home mom, the stay at home mom, the working outside of the home mom. I believe we truly are all working moms, whether you work in the home or outside of the home, or you do some combination of the two. If you're at home, you are working. And like, just as you are the CEO of the home and the task manager, you are handling a lot of roles. And for all of us, I mean, all the emails from school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So one thing we've learned to do is to set times of the day that we check email or social media. And this doesn't have to be something that's like rigid in stone on a calendar or scheduled. I am not one who loves being told what to do or being real regimented. But I've learned that it is so helpful for me to say, like, I don't know, the beginning of this hour, the beginning of the next hour or something, I check my email or I'll check social media. But then in between times, I put the phone down. And I know that if I get a ding or an email comes through, I don't have to check it right now. And that has been so freeing for me. Because there's so many times, there's so much life that goes on within our four walls, or even when we're out doing things, that gets so interrupted by what's really not probably that important.
Life, I like that. Life gets interrupted. Or there's so much life happening in our home that we miss. Or
that's it, right?
Yeah.
That's the rich life. Like, that's the real stuff.
And there are times you talk about setting certain limits or certain times of the day that you check email or social media, which I'm a huge fan of. And by the way, if you look at the show notes today, we highly recommend Circle by Disney. It's a great program to help monitor your own screen time as well as your kids' screen time. We are huge advocates of Circle by Disney. And we use it in our home. You can actually set limits, time limits, where your phone will shut down certain apps based upon the limits you want to set on your phone.
Yep. How long you want to be on Facebook, what times you can be on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever you want to do. But that is, it's amazing how, you know, a lot of those internet filtering softwares are obviously geared toward children as parents, you know, as we're trying to. But I think a lot of us are realizing we need them too.
Because anything you cannot fast from owns you.
I love that line. Josh says that all the time. Anything you cannot fast from owns you.
Speaking of fasting, there are times where you actually delete Facebook app or Instagram app from your phone.
Yeah.
It's another practical way.
Yeah, that's just something I do. I don't know if that would be helpful for other people, but a lot of times on weekends, especially when there's more time, Josh is around more, so I have more help with the kids, so there's more downtime, which is great, but I'm not good with downtime. That's just me personally. I'm seeking to fill it. And so I find myself in those moments of slowness, pulling up my phone and looking at what, I don't know, you're scrolling through another social media site, looking at pictures that I don't really even care to see, but somehow I feel like I'm supposed to see them or need to or something. And so I've learned on weekends when we're having like really great quality family time, I delete my apps on my phone. So for me, that's Instagram and Facebook, but whatever that is for you, maybe that would help.
And that's one of the other applications here, practical strategies that we have in our home, is we have a Saturday sundown a social media screen fast for 24 hours every week.
We do watch movies as a family and all that stuff, but from our phones
and we shut that stuff down for those 24 hours so that we can be present with one another as a family. And even if we're watching movies, it's very intentional.
Yeah,
it's a very intentional movie. It's not like we're putting movies on and just
no, it's like we sit down
that,
and we actually watch a movie, which is somehow so much more like you look forward to it. It's exciting. You have family movie night. There's popcorn. This is like a thing versus just an accidental screen that's on all day.
And I would just really encourage fasting at least a certain period of time throughout the week, because you'll start to find freedom in ways. And if you're having a trouble fasting, it probably owns you.
Ouch. Another thing that we do is no phones at mealtimes, which, again, for moms, it's just a struggle because mealtime, I cook a lot off of my phone. And so it's really easy to get, you're doing something off my phone, you know, recipes that are saved there. And then it's just real easy to just transition that to the table. And you just sit it beside you, not really thinking.
I don't let you, though.
I know. You catch me every single time.
I'm strict with that rule.
I know. But it's good. Yep. Like, our kids talk at the table, and that's been really good quality time. I mean, it's Deuteronomy 6, right?
Yeah.
So
meal time is huge.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, another strategy is setting specific play times with your kids where there's no phones allowed. Mm-hmm. Research shows that 20 minutes of command-free time a day where we enter their world. Command-free times means we're not dictating what we're going to play. You know, if our son wants to play with trains, I'm not saying let's put a puzzle together. I'm entering his world. I'm playing with trains, and I do that a lot. I'm a master track builder.
You
for Thomas,
are. You will work on that thing for hours.
And what we do is
I lose interest real quick.
You know, and last night, but this 20 minutes of command-free time, what you're doing, you can guide play. So, for instance, just last evening, we're playing with Percy and Thomas, and Thomas was going to have a birthday party for Percy. And next thing you know, I'm saying, well, hey, how about we have a party? So let's go, let's go pick up trees and let's go pick up lights and let's go pick up, you know, presents and cake. And so all of a sudden now I'm pushing him further into an imaginary story where we're playing together. And that's powerful.
I love that.
For a child's brain
to
go there. No phone allowed. Yeah. He has my 100% undivided attention in those 20 minutes. And I know you might have kids, like 8 or 9 of them, and you've got a whole community in your home. Be creative with that as it relates to 20 minutes, because what we're saying here is not that, hey, listen, we're trying to add to your time. We're just saying, hey, let's use those 4 key times of the day that Moses talks about, the when we wake in the morning, at bedtime, play, dinner time, and then driving time. Let's utilize the times that God's given us in our day, not adding to it, to be smart about those times. Mm-hmm. And by the way, those 4 times of the day, another strategy here, those 4 times of the day, say no to technology as best that you possibly can. Meal times, right before bed, if you're tucking your kids in the morning as they wake, and then also when you're driving them to school.
Yeah. Drive time, I think, is a difficult one. I think a lot of parents, that's their, like, I need to feel sane again. And I finally, they're in the car, strapped in, and I need to just disengage. That's something I'm challenged by, truthfully. And then the other one, when you were talking about the 20 minutes without a phone, playing with your kids on the floor, I have found for me that is that's one of my most difficult ones. And I'll try to rationalize it, but it's because that's what I use. Like if there was an emergency, if you're trying to get a hold of me. So I'm just so used to dragging this phone around with me. It's in my hand at all times. Not all times, but far, far too often. So I'll bring it into the room with me and I'll put it down, like on top of something, on the table or something, as I'm playing with, you know, our daughter. And then it is sickening, that feeling like 2 minutes in and I know it's there.
You're addicted.
I know it.
You're owned.
I know it.
And
I can't handle just sitting on the floor, the stillness of just playing dolls.
But let me defend you though, and I'm the same way. I mean, it's one of those things where there are some parents who uniquely are, you might be listening to this podcast and go, well, I can shut it down. That's easy for
like,
me.
Like y'all are crazy.
And then there's other of you listening, going, man, I can't even imagine doing what you guys are doing. So we're all across the spectrum here, and we're not saying, hey, implement every single one of these. We're not saying, hey,
or this is the way to do it. This is have an awareness that this is a thing.
Awareness.
I didn't know secondhand screen time was even a thing. And now I know it's not just a thing. Like it's actually causing anxiety and depression in kids in like catastrophic numbers. Mm-hmm. I read an article just the other day by a psychologist who works specifically with children, who said probably about 20 years ago, when families would come into his office, one in 20 children would be struggling with anxiety. Now, he said 16 of 20 are struggling with anxiety, if not more. And it's because of
this. That's powerful.
It is because of screens and social media.
Pressure. Yeah. And pressures. And pressures we're putting on our kids, too.
Yes.
Homework and
the pressure and pace
and
of life. Yeah.
The pace and pressure of life. So, simplify. Mm-hmm. And we're journeying with you in this, and we're saying, hey, simplify. One of the things I enjoy doing, I actually enjoy doing this, and you do this too, because we end up having to go on a house hunt to find your phone, is putting our phone in a completely different room when you're playing with your kids. Put it in a completely different room.
I can never find the darn thing.
And then we can never find Christy, so we're constantly looking for her.
But that's why I feel like I have to take it with me everywhere I go, because then I'm asking the question, does anyone see my phone? Because I don't know where it is.
Even putting it in another room is super helpful. Because the last thing we want is our kids to feel like the phone is more important than they are.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times my daughter has looked me in the face and said, Mama, phone away.
And she's 2.
She's 2.
So if you're resonating with this today, if you work from home like we do, makes it a little bit more difficult. If you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're home more often with your kids, if you homeschool, it can be often more difficult. One of the last ways that we strategize this is make sure that you're clear with your children when you're at work and when it's playtime.
Yeah.
And even let them know that expectation. If you work for 50 minutes and take a 10-minute break, which is important to do, and you want to spend those 10 minutes with your kids, let them know.
I saw that. One of our blog readers actually commented. She works from home and has three really young kids, I think.
Love that idea.
Yeah. And I think she explained that she worked for 50 minutes and then she takes a 10-minute break every hour and goes out because they live in a kind of an open concept home. So the kids can see her, which is obviously a struggle. We've been known to put out signs to say, like, this is work time. In our old house, we had French doors that had glass so the kids could see right in into the office. And so we would put a sign up. I'm not sure the sign was incredibly effective considering their age, but
yeah,
we thought it helped anyway.
So as you look at this, as you consider the secondhand screen time, as you consider how you're doing with it, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. 10, I'm doing great. This is not a podcast I really need to apply in my life. 1 being, I am a mess. I need therapy.
am I 1?
No, you're not a 1.
Okay.
We, see where you're at and then say, hey, I've got to get from a 4 to a 6 here.
Yeah.
So what's it going to take me to get from a 4 to a 6? What do I need to implement? Do I need to talk to my spouse about this? Do I need to implement some strategies? Accountability is huge. And again, as we mentioned, Circle by Disney is a great one. Look at the show notes for that, a great software program you could use. But also getting other people in your life surrounding you to help you with this. Because I believe this. I believe that our screens today are the modern day Baal. And they are...
Wow.
They are, it's the socially acceptable way to distance ourselves from Jesus in a lot of ways.
Wow.
Instead of spending that full attention time with him, we're in continuous partial attention and not really thinking, not really going deep. We'll talk more about that in another podcast, but this is really near and dear to my heart as we think about the generation of kids we're raising. Cause I look 15, 20 years from now and saying, hey, listen, what will the kids that we're raising right now turn out to be if we don't shut our phones down, if we don't do something about it?
You know, just in closing, I was dropping the kids off at school this morning and on the way we pray together and then we always listen to a song and, my son said, Mom, can we listen to the I Get to Love You song? And this is a song, it's by Ruel, which I don't know her. We'll put it in the show notes because it's the most beautiful, amazing song. But basically the words of the song are, I get to love you. And I think that's the message that we need to hear. Beyond the screens, there are faces and lives that we get to love. And I think we forget it too often because we're so consumed by the immediate and the urgent. So, just to encourage you, you get to love those kids.
For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
We'll see you next week.